Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that should he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now this scripture is usually used, and it's well to use it, about the results of sin. It's true that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But that's not the primary meaning. That's one meaning. But God puts a special emphasis on the other. He says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then the conclusion is to Christian people about working for God in the power of the Spirit. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sowing and reaping. Christians sowing and reaping. Sowing for God, reaping precious souls. That's the idea. The other scripture, or text to start with, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here the Bible says, sow and you'll reap. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And the scripture says then, in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. And then again the scripture says we're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your work's not in vain. You're going to receive a reward. You'll bring in the sheaves. You'll see the blessed results. Sowing and reaping. I have referenced primarily to soul winning, as the scripture primarily has reference. You know, in Matthew 13 and in Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said, a sower went forth to sow. Who is the sower? He's a soul winner. He's a Christian spreading the gospel. And he said some seed fell on the turn roll, out on the bare soil, and the birds got it, and didn't anything happen good. Some of it fell on stony ground, and the moist and started to sprout, but it had no root, and it didn't get in the soil. And it represents the man heard the gospel and liked it, but when temptation, trouble arises, since he had no root in himself, had never really been regenerated, born again, why then, of course, he turned back. But again, some seed fell among thorns, and it sprang up, but it didn't bring any fruit to perfection. And that represents a Christian, one who's really been converted, but a worldly Christian. There's a tobacco-smoking Christian, the picture-show-going Christian. There's a Christian that's worldly-minded and that doesn't do much for God and doesn't win souls. For the scripture says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, getting so anxious about your job and making a living and saving money, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. There's a Christian, but it's unfruitful. But then, thank God, the scripture says, some seed fell on good soil and brought forth some 30, some 60, some an 100-fold. Means that 100%. That means not just that you double your income, but 100 times as much. Ah, that's wonderful fruit, isn't it? And thank God we know that you be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Now, you see, the good seed is the Word of God, and we're to go and sow the good seed, and we're to abound in it, for the Scripture makes clear, your labor's not in vain. In due season you'll reap, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now then, let's see, there's a gospel truth here about sowing and reaping. Everywhere in the Bible, this truth comes out. It's true first in regard to sin. In the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, in the day thou eatest thereof, of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In Numbers 33:23, the Lord Moses said, he said, if you do what you say, and come over and help these, take this land well and good. But if ye will not do so, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. In Ezekiel, again and again, this scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All right, according to the Bible, then, you see, sin finds you out. In Romans 6:23, the scripture says the wages of sin is death. All right, we can't be sure about this. When you sin catches up with you, and what you sow, you'll reap. There's the inexorable law. And even for people saved, oh, somebody says, yes, but now I'm saved. But the law still works. The law still works. You know that? The law still works. For example, if somebody gets converted, but if he's got black hair, his hair is still black. If he's got a crooked nose, he's still got a crooked nose. There's some things not changed by the fact that you're saved. Up at Evansville Rescue Mission years ago, they tried so hard to get an old bum saved. They called him Old Bill. Old Bill. He was a regular bum. He drank all the time. He'd get out and scrounge up something. He'd paint mailboxes and get a few cents to buy some beer. Or he'd do run some errands and get somewhere in a saloon, get something to drink. So he stayed drunk so much of the time. He'd go down to the rescue mission, they'd give him bed and try to get him saved. And nope, he didn't want to be saved. He just wanted a free bed and a free breakfast. And that went on for a long time. One day he got drunk. He and a pal of his, an old friend of his, got drunk and got into a fight. And the other man hit him in the eye and knocked his eye out. And so on. Later, this man got saved. Used to be Old Bill. Now he said, I'm not Old Bill. I'm New Bill. I'm the new management. So they called him New Bill. Called him New Bill all over the country. He went out and dressed him up and he gave a good testimony everywhere. Now, Old Bill just had one eye. He got one eye knocked out in a drunken fight. The Old Bill, the old sinner. But now he's forgiven. Everything's under the blood. Born again. How many eyes do you think New Bill had, huh? Just one eye. Just one eye. You still reap what you sow. You still reap what you sow. You see, that's the law of God. You say, isn't God merciful? Yes, God's merciful, but then God's not going to turn his back on right and wrong. And you still reap what you sow. So in sin, here's the principle, that you reap what you sow. But thank God it doesn't just work on that side. It works on the good side, too. Bless God, when you sow for God, you're going to reap reward. That's proven in giving, in Christian giving. In Malachi, the scripture says, prove me now herewith. He said, bring all the tithes in the storehouses and the meat in mine house and prove me now herewith, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there'll not be room to receive it. Now, that promise is addressed primarily to Israel, and the storehouse is the temple, and the offerings were brought to the priests at Jerusalem. And so, of course, it isn't right to make Jerusalem some other town and to make the temple into a church and so on. But there is a promise still. God pays back people who give to him. In the New Testament, it's restated in Luke 6:38. There the Lord says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, running over, pressed down, shaken together. And what is it now? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give to your bosom? The Lord says, you give, and it'll be given to you. The Lord promises the same thing, Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, will it pay? Yes, he said, the food and the drink and all these things will be added unto you. God has a promise that when you give to him, thank God you find it pays, it'll come back. And over in Paul's letter to Corinthians, we'll find a wonderful lesson. And Paul says, God loveth a cheerful giver, and he's able to make all grace abound to you. And so he said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth, bountifully shall reap also bountifully in your giving. So when you give money, you're not to think, boy, goodbye, that's the last of that. No, sir. Just like when you go and put corn in the ground, say, bless God, God's rain and sunshine will come on it, and I'll have a row of corn here, and we'll have green ears, we'll have nice green corn to eat. I'll have corn for my hogs this fall, because what you sow, you reap. That's a Bible principle of good. And so giving is a sign of it. Let me tell you, do you tithe? Do you give at least a tenth of your income? I want you to get that book back there all about Christian giving. You read that one chapter, chapter 5, I believe it is, on giving your way to prosperity. And if you try that out 6 months, and if you don't gain an actual cash and blessing spiritual besides, I'll give you the book. I'll give you the book. I know it pays to give when you give in Jesus' name and trust him to repay like he promised. You see, that's sowing and reaping. And the Bible said on this matter, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. You give to the poor. Yeah, but you say, never mind. I've got a good Savior. He won't let me go without. He'll see that I receive what I need. Because God says, I owe that fellow something. He gave that to poor. And thank God, God pays his debt. He does. You see, Christian giving is a proof of the sowing and reaping. When you sow, you reap. Thank God you reap abundantly, too. All right, that's another proof of the law. That's the way it is with soul winning, too. Soul winning is primarily sowing and reaping. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So soul winning is primarily sowing and reaping, you see? And that puts it in the category of God's inexorable law. And thank God you can't fail. If you meet God's requirements, you're going to have a harvest. If you go God's way, you'll have a harvest. You go with tears, you'll reap with joy. If you go forth in weeping and bear the precious seed, you'll come back rejoicing with sheaves. So the Bible says, you won't get everybody saved. The sower went forth to sow. Some seed fell to the word side. And boy, a robin hopped down and picked up some of it. And a crow came along, got some of it, and a chickadee, and a quail. But some of it brought good seed. You know, I've often preached and got somebody saved, but I didn't get him to quit his tobacco. I didn't get him to be on fire. I didn't get him to win souls. Well, I'm sad. But thank God always somebody gets saved that means business. And what a joy that is. You know, in this matter of getting people saved through literature, I found a strange, I think a wonderful thing, and yet very queer. We hear, in this year perhaps, we'll hear from about 1,000 people, maybe 1,100, 1,200, who write letters to tell us, ordinary, maybe 3 or 4 letters a day. Joe, you keep care of that. We get several a day, don't we? And letters from people who tell us they're saved. Say it through a sermon in the sword, or say it through one of my books, or particularly, more often, say it through the little booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Now, I checked up on those, and I thought, now, I wonder if they turn out to be as good Christians. Looked like they came down the aisle in a revival, they might make a better Christian, Brother Crow, I thought. So I began to check up. And to my astonishment, I began to find out that these people who write in and tell us they're saved through these literatures, they turn out a higher average. More of them turn out to be preachers. More of them turn out to be soul winners. My, how many of them? One man here told me this morning, at the prayer meeting, he said, Brother Rice, over in India, another soldier gave me one old copy of the Sword of the Lord, and I've been a reader ever since, and told me what blessings he'd gotten. How many preachers are preaching the gospel because somebody gave one of my booklets and so on? There's that man, Jacob Friesen, out in Kansas. He had 9 grown sons, and they were converted, and they prayed for the dad. But no, none of the preachers, he wouldn't go, and he didn't care, and he wasn't saved. But one day, he read the Sword of the Lord, read a sermon in the sword, and was converted. And that old fella, bless God, he just got on fire. One day we were going out to some of our workers going out to Winona Lake. Miss Viola Walden, one of some of you girls going with, who was it? Some of my daughters and Miss Viola Walden going from Wheaton and on the Pennsylvania train out to Winona Lake then. And a man came along giving out tracts and said, here, read this. Here's the plan of salvation. Be sure and read this. And it was my booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? And Miss Paula Walden said to him, why, she said, we're with Brother Rice. He's going out to an old lake for a conference, and we're going out there and taking the typewriters and setting up the office and so on. We work with him, and here's Brother Rice's daughter. Well, Brother Friesen said, well, all right, let's all sing a song then. So they there in the train sang songs, and then he went down the aisle giving out booklets and got more people saved. One man came back from Denver. He said, Brother Rice, you know Jacob Friesen? Yes. Well, said we had a Gideon's convention at Denver. And they were there, businessmen, Christian businessmen from all over America. And said, I met one guy on every street corner. He's buttonholing people and giving them tracts and talking about the Lord and having prayer meetings on the street and in the hotel lobbies. And I asked him, and he said he was saved through reading the Sword of the Lord. Do you know Jacob Friesen? I just keep hearing echoes of that good man. Now and then, I found this. All these people that say, I said, how is it? Does it make a fellow a better Christian to get saved reading a sermon? Well, no. But the truth of the matter is, I found out this. It's only the bold ones that write, and some timiders get saved, and then they go down to the church and join. And I come along 6 years later and hold a revival meeting, and they come up and say very timidly, Brother Rice, I was saved 6 years ago reading your sermon, but they never wrote to tell me about it. So I think of the, if I get 1,000, 1,100 letters this year telling me they found Christ through some of this literature, there will have been 10,000 more that trusted Christ and went down to the church and joined the church and baptized and didn't tell, never did write to tell me. And if I came that way, they'd love me and pray for me. If I came that way, they'd tell me. You see, I just wonder, I don't suppose there is, but I just wonder, is there anybody here now who was saved through some of my literature? Let's see your hand. Anybody here who was? Anybody here in orphan in such a crowd? There will be, but I'm just... Yes? Somebody? Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, brother. Okay, that's good. I'm just saying, listen, here's a gospel truth that if you sow enough seeds, you're going to reap some seeds. That's it. You sow the seed, God's going to bless it. That's God's law. And listen, that's not affected by predestination. A lot of lazy people, they don't want to win souls, so they say, well, that's the sovereign business of God. It's just up to us to be faithful. It's not up to us to see about the results, and we don't care about numbers anyhow. Yeah, you old backslider. If you love sinners like Jesus did, you'd care about numbers. Yes, sir. Well, somebody said, I don't believe in counting. Well, I'm glad you weren't there at Pentecost, and if you'd been running that and running the Bible, we'd never known they had 3,000 souls, but God don't feel about it like you do. See? So he said about 3,000 souls. And somebody said, well, it's the sovereign business of God. No, sir. Brother, this is one matter in which God and I are partners, and he loves sinners, and I love them. And Jesus died for them, and I laid my life on the altar. I live a crucified life day by day. And like Paul said, I fill up in my body what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ in order to get people saved. It's my business, and I weep over it. It was Jesus' business, and he bled and died over it. And when they're saved, I rejoice. And up in heaven, on the dear face of Jesus, there's such a smile of gladness because a sinner is saved. And it tells everybody in heaven, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. Listen, I'm not going to leave it to the sovereign predestination and election and foreordination of God about winning souls. God has set a rule, and he says if you sow the seed, you'll reap sheaves. He said what you sow, you'll reap. A divine law that people can win souls, and if you work enough at it and cry enough and pray enough and show enough scriptures and give enough people the gospel and go get them and bring them to church and try enough ways and schemes, you're going to get more and more people saved. In proportion as you sow with tears, the word of God, of course, in that proportion you're going to reap. And the one that reaps more sows more. Who's the greatest soul winner? The smartest? No, the man sows more. Man sows more seed, gets more crops. That's the way. See? It's not the smart. Who's going to make most money? The smartest farmer? No. If he sits up at home and studies the Encyclopedia Britannica and reads very strong scholarly tomes, that don't make him more crop. What makes it getting out there and breaking the ground, killing the weeds, sowing it, and then reaping it, you know? That does. The more sowing, the more reaping. That's God's plan about soul winning. Well, you say, somebody says, I don't believe revivals are worked up. I believe they're prayed down. You're half right and half crazy. I wouldn't say you don't have any wit. I'd just say you're half wit. It's true revivals are prayed down. It's also true they're worked up. It's true that only God can give revival, but it's also true he only gives it where God's people meet his requirements. You know that? Yeah. Revival's God's business and my business. He told me what to do, and if I do my part, he does his. That's not just a business. It's like lightning. You don't know. It had nothing to do with it. No, no. God has a law of sowing and reaping in soul winning. Well, somebody said, Brother Rice, we're in the last days. Well, if you mean we're in New Testament times, yes. If you mean anything else, then you're crazy as a bedbug and you don't know. It sounds foolish if anybody set out to pretend that you know how soon Jesus is coming. You don't know anything of the kind. There are not any signs by which you can know. God plainly said, Jesus said in Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. You're not supposed to know. That's not your business. But you say, but Brother Rice, there's lots of modernism. Yes or no? But you say, Brother Rice, there's lots of worldliness. Yeah. Well, you say, Brother Rice, people listen to television. Yeah. You say, Brother Rice, there's lots of drinking. Yeah, I know. But where sin did abound, grace did much more. The grace of God is bigger than all the sin in the world. And there are no circumstances under which the Bible doesn't work. Did you know that? There are not any circumstances. There's no nation. There's no country. There's no class of people. There are no circumstances under which God's laws don't work. And God's divine law of sowing and reaping works brother, you sow the seed, the dynamite of God, this blessed word of God, and you sow it with tears, and sow it beside all waters. You be faithful to that. And the scripture said, in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Therefore, he said, we ought to, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. But it works. The soul winner, Bennett. The people who win souls work at it. The people who don't win souls don't work at it. Did you know that? You say, well, you need the power of God. Sure, but you can have the power of God. But you say, Brother Rice, you ought to have the right thing. Yeah, you got the Bible. You got the scripture, and you can use that. And bless God, one who sows the seed comes back with sheaves. That's the Bible plan. Sow and reap, a divine law. In proportion as you sow on God's plan, in that proportion you reap in God's plan. All right, now let's see. You see that soul winning then is a plain business of primarily going after people. Do you see that in the first place, this word of God, what is soul winning? One element is the word of God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. In Luke 8:11, the good seed, a soul went forth to sow. The good seed is the word of God. You say, brother, can you always depend on it? Listen, that dynamite goes off. And brother, it works wonders in the heart of man. That's right. If you were out here in the business, I was on Seminary Hill as a student in Southwestern Seminary. Good old Mother Williams was there in charge of the campus. It was on a rocky hill. You'd dig down 8 inches, you'd run into limestone, and yet they wanted to plant beautiful trees. Well, you can't get much of a tree to grow in 6 or 8 inches of soil. So we dig down and then pry out rocks, and we came down to solid rock and take a crowbar and chunk it down and down and down and make a hole. And put in half a stick or a stick of dynamite in a fuse and put a cap on it, you know. And then somebody out to head off the passers-by so nobody get hit. And then set the thing off, and blow the rocks to smithereens. And after a while, you could put a tree in there, and it would grow. And I'm just saying, brother, just like a good company puts a certain amount of nitroglycerin with a certain amount of sawdust and a certain explosion pressure point, and with a fuse and a certain amount of cap impact to set it off, it's just as scientific as that. Is it true that with a certain kind of sowing and a certain amount of sowing, God gets a certain number of souls? Did you know that? I have a friend, Arthur DeMoss, in the insurance business, an insurance executive in Albany, New York. He's a good fellow, only 32 or 3 years old, saved under Dr. Hyman Appleman's campaign there. Very great help and chairman in my campaign when I was in Albany, and a very dear friend of the Sword of the Lord. And he tells me this. He said, Brother Rice, I set up an insurance office, I establish an agency, I call in workers, I tell people this. If you have so many contacts, you can make so many calls, and there'll be a certain number of them at home, and if you call within certain hours a day, and a certain number won't be at home, and out of those that you call, you'll make so many sales, and out of so many sales, your average commission will be so-and-so. And so he said, I can show to him, take it over a case of 100 workers, maybe, and 1,000 of cases, and I can show him that every call that he makes will be worth $2, and he'll get $7 commission on every sale on an average. And anybody in the world, he said, who makes so many calls a day can make so much money a year in the insurance business, he said. He said it just works out as simple as that a call's worth so much. In other words, the divine law of sowing and reaping works in selling insurance, and the divine law of sowing and reaping works in building a Sunday school. If I can get on Thursday night a certain number of workers out to visit, I'll have so many people. If I can have 23 workers to visit on Thursday night, I'll have 160 people in Sunday school next Sunday in Wheaton. And with that, with amateur workers, they're not very well established, and a new church that just started, and a good deal of prejudice. But when I get to where I can have 46 people out visiting to win souls and invite people to Sunday school, see if they're absentees, I'll have then 320 in Sunday school. And down in Catholic New Orleans, in the Mid-City Baptist Church, Brother Paul Driscoll tells me that he has kept count for 8 years, and that always If he can have 10 people visiting, he has 100 in Sunday school. If he has 100 people visiting, he has 1,000 in Sunday school. When he has 120 visiting in a week, he has 1,200 in Sunday school. He said it has worked within a fraction of a percent all down through these 8 years in that Catholic city, where 9 out of 10 of the people are Catholics. It still pays. You see, God's divine law of sowing and reaping always pays off. You know who doesn't win souls? The man that's so lazy, or so indifferent, or so pig-headed that he won't go after people. See? That's it. Now, people who go after people can get people saved. You see that? When somebody said, I wish we could have a great church like Dr. Lee Robertson has in Chattanooga. You can. You can. Oh, but Dr. Robertson's extreme. Yeah, he's a wonderful preacher. But I know others as good preachers. Yeah? The plain truth of the matter is, that church is built on a divine law that if you go after enough people, you can get a certain percentage of them and get a certain percentage of them saved and so many baptized. And anybody in the world that teaches people to rely on the Spirit and use the Word of God and then make enough visits and go after enough people, and while you're living straight and praying, God's helping, so on, you'll have a certain number of people saved and a certain number of people baptized. It just works by divine law, sowing and reaping. In due season ye shall reap if ye faint not, the Bible says. So wherefore, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So says the Scripture. I'll turn that over. Let's see another thing. We ought to win soul winning, sow everywhere. Everybody wants to win souls, ought to sow everywhere. In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, the Scripture says, that send forth, blessed are they that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Yes, sir?
Just start it.
Much. I think it's going now. Just takes a little bit. Been using it day and night since I've been here. I want this sermon for the sword of the Lord, and I want you to pray God will help me to get over the idea and win souls everywhere. Now again, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Here the Bible says it's a blessed thing, a man that wants to raise lots of grain. Well, the thing to do is go out and ever find where you find. Now he's talking about Palestine. It's all right down here in North Georgia, if you bear up the same, because lots of hills. He said, blessed are you that go out here, and every time you find a little valley and a creek running by, now in a bend of that valley, there'll be a little place that's big enough for a field you can plant some grain. And if it's a river, you'll have wide bottom. If it's a little bit of a creek, you'll have just a small bit of bottom land. But blessed is a man that just goes over the country, and everywhere they can find a little bit of a valley land, everywhere can find a place where it's not straight up and down hills, why, right there by the creek, he plants his seed. Blessed are they that sow besides all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the oxen and the ass. Here the fellow says, hitch up that yoke of oxen to the plow. Here's a little piece of ground. Oh, this edge isn't very much. Rocky hillsides all around, just a little bit of level ground, level enough to plow. He said, all right, we're going to plow that and put it in grain. And so they turn it over. They say, bring your team of donkeys over here. Here's another little place. And so he goes around in a rocky country, in a hilly country, a lot of it that you can't cultivate, but anybody can find some down by the creek where you can sow your seed. And so the Lord said, blessed is a Christian that lives in this dry old world, lives in this world that's an enemy of God, lives in this world that's so full of sin, lives in this world where so many people rather look at TV than go to church, lives in the world where he's got a great crowd for ball games and a little harder to get them to hear the gospel. He wants to help them and prove yourself a friend. And love will find a way. Love will find a way. Take my booklet back there on sermon from a Catholic Bible. Some will read that who wouldn't read what must it do to be saved. And that's one way. But if that's not the way, some other way. But so besides all waters, everybody ought to be ready to win a Jew, win a Catholic, win a bootlegger, win a harlot, win a little girl, win a little boy, win an infidel, all the waters. One great thing about Dr. R.A. Torrey and his book on personal soul winning, he just got the ways down there because he works at it all the time, to win an infidel or a Catholic or to get a backslider or get somebody that's ripe and ready or somebody wasn't, besides all waters. And you know the wonderful thing? I wish you'd believe me. Thank God he works with people that work everything they can. Did you know that? January a year ago, I went to Buffalo, New York to speak at a New Year's Eve. That is, I went the last day of the old year. to speak at a New Year's watch night service in a great auditorium, 1,200 people there. At 1:30 in the morning, I preached. God saved some souls. I went to the hotel to get a little rest. Then I caught a plane back home. And so on the plane, came on toward noontime, and the hostess came by and she said, "Are you ready to have your dinner?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "No, sir. My daughter Mary Lois is sixth dinner for the family. I'm going to have New Year's dinner with my folks at home. The plane doesn't get in till 12:55, and it'll be 1:30 time I get there, but I'm saving for a New Year's Eve dinner with my whole family." And so we went on, and we got over Chicago, and went round and round and round up in the clouds, and after a while, the hostess came back through and said, "We'll have to go back to Detroit. The field is closed in with fog, and we can't come down in Chicago." And we went back to Detroit. But wait a minute. Let me tell you what had happened meantime. At Detroit, a sailor boy got on the plane, and I moved over and made room and prayed God to guide. And I said, "Lord, on New Year's Day, let me... the first day in the year. Let me win somebody today, Lord, this first day in the year." And so Taylor sat down beside me, and I said, "How are you?" And he mumbled something. And I said, "Pretty Dave." "Yeah, I guess so. You paid me no mind." And I went on talking, so on. "Where do you live?" "Well, certain town in Michigan. I'll think of the name of it in just a minute." "And where are you going?" "I'm stationed in San Francisco on the West Coast. I've been on furlough, on leave. I'm going back." And so on. He wouldn't hardly talk to me. But I kept on asking about his family, and he had a little girl, had a wife, and talked about his mother and his dad. Yes, his wife went to a little Methodist Sunday school, and so on. And after a while I said, "Well, it's New Year's Day." "Yes." "Said, I'm hoping to eat dinner with all my family today." And he said, "Yes, I won't get to see mine. And but I've been home, had a good time." And I said, "Lots of people making New Year's resolutions today." He said, "Yes." I said, "I guess maybe you made some." Well, he was kind of noncommittal. And I said, "Listen, your wife, is she a Christian?" "Yes, she is." "Your mother and dad Christians?" "Yes, they were." I said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" "Yes, I do. Of course, everybody knows that." "Well," I said, "wouldn't it be wonderful if on this New Year's Day, if you'd give your heart to Jesus Christ and write your wife and say, 'On New Year's Day, I trusted you, I trusted Jesus. I'm taking my wife's Savior. I'm going with you to church. I'm going to raise a little girl for God.' Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't she like that?" And by this time, he kind of melted down. And he began to say, "Yes, that's sure what she wants. That's what she'd like. And a fellow ought to do that." And I said, "Let you and I pray and ask Jesus to come in." So we bowed our head and prayed. And he trusted Christ and had a good handshake on the thing. And he went on back. And he was going on. Lived at Adrian, Michigan, was a place. And so on. And then the hostess came through and said, "I'm sorry. I can't get down in Chicago. It's fog." And went on back. And I went back and got off of Detroit. And I took a taxi all the way over to Ann Arbor and caught a train. Didn't get in till past midnight in Chicago. Got home 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I told that hostess, "I'm going to take a rain check on that dinner. Have you got any left?" And she said, "Yes." And so I got a little of the dinner left and went back and got in and dropped half the night and all. But I said, "Bless God, anybody should have sown in business will find some ground somewhere to sow the seed, and God will give him some fruit." Did you know that? Yes, sir. If you really put that first, you can be a soul winner. You can find some place. Paul said on this matter, I want you to notice, we ought to, by all means, not only all places, but we ought, by all means, save people. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verses 19 to 22, Paul the Apostle speaks. Paul was a great soul winner. Why? Not eloquent, a hard worker. How did Paul get so many people saved? A great gift of language? No. His bodily presence was weak. And his speech was contemptible. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. That's what they said about him. How far do people get so many people saved? He just cried so much and talked so much and worked so much and sowed so much seed. They're bound to get a lot of people saved. So he said, in labor more abundant. That's how he got more people saved. That's how anybody else gets more people saved. Bill. The best preachers don't get the most people saved. The hardest workers get the most people saved. Did you know that? Of course, it's good to preach the best you can. But, brother, the more crying and praying and working and walking and talking and sowing the seed, that gets more fruit. So in 1 Corinthians 9, 19, 22, "For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." I walked into a junkyard where a Jew was in charge.
in a Pennsylvania town, and I am an Orthodox Jew, and we began to talk about Jewry in the Old Testament, in the synagogue, and all the, and the Passover, and the Day of Atonement, and I was there with him, and as more I talked, the more his heart began to run over, and he began to ask me questions and so on, that Jewish man in a junkyard, and I was shocked and surprised to find he would have given me anything in the junkyard, anything he had. Before I got away from there, I was like a brother beloved. I found that if I entered into an Orthodox Jew's thoughts and the things he loved and cared about and was interested in, why, he had a heart, he had a conscience, he needed God, same as anybody else. You know that? All right. So then, Paul said, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law is without the law, though not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Oh my, by all means. I know people think I'm a kind of a nut. I preach all the time that I can. When I'm at home, I make 2-3 broadcasts a week, and I preach 1, 2, 3, 4 times, besides about 9 hours a day usually. And sometimes I get out for an hour or two, but usually 9 hours a day in the office besides. When I'm out revival campaign, I pretty regularly preach 3 times, sometimes 5 times a day. And then besides that, edit the Sword of the Lord, get out books and pamphlets, radio broadcasts, anyway, tape recordings, gospel films, anywhere in the world. Oh, God forgive me, but I do want to try every means in the world to get people saved. So I preach to get people saved and do personal work to get people saved and gospel films to get people saved and sing to get people saved and house-to-house visit to get people saved. All things to all men that by all means might win some. I know some preachers that don't win souls. They want to preach. They don't want to get out here and hot foot from door to door and talk to sinners. They don't want that. One man came to me and said, Brother Rice, I don't have any work. Well, I said, well, why don't you get out here and find some? World's full of sinners, and people need the Lord. I said, why don't you go down to the rescue mission? There'll be somebody there. Why don't you stop somebody on the street? Or he said, I don't have any regular work. Well, I said, you can make it regular. I knew what he meant. But I led him on, but I said, as much as you go down to jail and preach. He said, yeah, but I mean, a place where they hire you and you have a salary. He wanted preaching to get paid for it. He didn't want to just go out and win souls and not get anything for it. Now, anybody that works at it can win souls. Anybody. I was at Waxahachie, Texas, in revival services, and God blessed wonderfully. And there was a man there. I think his name was Ms. Rice. Henry? What's his name, Ms. Rice? Hempkins. Henry Hempkins. Henry Hempkins. By the way, he owned a junkyard, too. And he'd only had about, sixth or seventh grade education, ran it, and he got on fire. He'd been saved, but never won souls, and he got so burdened about it. So I had a great lot of Gospels of John, and I'd taken a bunch of high school workers, and I preached in the high school, and I said, now everybody get your pencil. Now look on page 4, and so on. And I'd underlined John 1:12. He'd believe, as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even them believe on his name. And they underlined John 3:16, John 3:18, John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:40, John 6:47. All the verses on believe and be saved. We just went through the Gospel of John. And over in the back, I had mimeographed little decision slips. Dear Brother Rice, realizing that I'm a sinner and believing that Christ died for my sins, I here and now trust him to be my own personal Savior and a place to sign their name and put their address. So after I had these there, and after I'd had a service and gone through that little booklet of Gospel of John with the crowd, Brother Henry Hempton came up and said, Brother Rice, can I have some of them little books? I said, what little books? He said, them you have there, you know, part of the Bible. And so I said, yes, how many do you want? Oh, give me a handful. So I gave him 8 or 10 of them, I suppose. And lo and behold, the next day or two, here he came back, and he had torn out that decision form. I'd pasted it in the back, and every one of them was filled in with the name and address. He said, you got some more of these little books? He said, I got this many to sign it. And so, well, with some misgivings, I gave him a handful more, and I said, now, wait a minute, to myself. I didn't tell him. I said, now, it's not as easy as that. Now, he just got some people's names on there, but I meant for him to get people saved. But here, there, two more, and he came back, and here the decision slips all torn out and signed up, and he said, can I have some more of them little books? So I said to my wife, now, I'm going to see what he's doing. And so I went out to his junkyard, and he was talking to a man,
He said to a man, he said, I want to show you something I learned. He said, I didn't know it was this easy. He said, I didn't know that anybody in the world that just wanted to be saved could be saved right now and know it, but I'm going to show you. And turn to that Gospel of John, never first marked, John 1:12.
See that? Did you know that? Anybody received Jesus is given power to be a child of God? John 3:16. Do you realize God loved you enough? He gave his son. Anybody would trust him, believe in him, wouldn't have everlasting life, not go to hell. Did you know that? He went right on verse after verse after. And one fellow said, I didn't. I thought you had to be baptized. Another fellow, I thought you had to live right and so on. And he went right through that whole business so clearly. And he came to the back and said, listen, you want to be saved or don't you? Well, yes, I do. Well, you know you're a sinner and you need to be saved. You and I are friends now, and I'm interested in you. Don't you want to be saved? Yes, I do. All right, Lord, help this fellow to trust you right now. He said, will you do it? If you will, put your name down there. The man was in tears and put his name down there. Well, I observed that, and about that time another fellow drove up. He said, hey, Henry. He said, have you got a 2-inch 2x2 channel iron about that long? I need a piece of channel iron. And so, it was angle iron. And so he says, Henry said, well, yes, I have. He said to his wife, remember, Miss Rice, what is his wife's name? I can't think of it now. He said, hey, come here, get this man a piece of 2x2 angle iron about that long, will you? I want to talk to his friend. Another fellow in the car sitting there. So the man came after the angle iron. His wife waiting on the junkyard, and he's doing the personal work. And so he got another fellow, and he went through the whole bit. I want to show you what I've learned. And he was just getting them right and left. And only been in 6th or 7th grade. But he found out if you sow the seed, you can get results. You see that? If you sow the seed, you can get results. And by God's grace, what we ought to do is say, I'm going to use all the means, and so besides all waters, let me read you some blessed verses, and I'm going to have to quit then. In Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Here's some bread. I hear some good grain. Here's some wheat. I better save this. This is my bread for the winter. No, let's sow it. Let's sow it and get a crop. Well, you said, but I won't know whether I get back. Yes, cast it on the waters and you'll think it's gone. But after many days, you'll find the fruit from it. And then again, verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Somebody says, no, he's talking to him. He's a Catholic. Somebody says, no, he's talking to that man. He's a drunkard. See? Says, no, he's talking to that man. He'll get mad and cuss you out. Listen, he that observeth the wind, you won't sow. He that observeth the wind, you won't sow. Listen, quit looking at the circumstances and look at God and go ahead and sow the seed everywhere. See? He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. But it looks like they're not. Sow the seed. Give everybody a chance. The most unlikely places you'll find people saved. In Lima, Ohio, I went out of a hotel room one morning, and as I went out the room, a woman who was making the bed, a maid in the hotel, making the bedroom next door, and she came out to her cart to get some cleaning fluid or something there. And so I said to her, good morning. She said, good morning. I said, are you a Christian? And she immediately dropped her hands to her side and looked like a woman stricken with the deepest grief. And tears filled her eyes. She said, no, I'm not. But I've been wanting to be one a long time. Well, I'll give you 3 guesses what happened there. It didn't take very long. I'm telling you that God has plenty of places. The harvest is white, the reapers are few. God has got plenty of people. If you sow, you'll reap. If you work at it, you can get people saved. You sure can. And I'd say, God, give us grace to do it. In the morning, Ecclesiastes 11:6. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thy hand. For who knows, thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So you see, go by faith, have the leading of the Spirit, pray for the power of God, weep over it, pray over it, but go, and as you sow in the power of God, the precious seed of the Word of God, you're certain to get people saved. Aren't you ashamed you haven't worked at this soul winning business? You preachers, you preach nice sermons of the pulpit, why don't you go out and get people saved? I preached in one revival campaign, and as one man came just service after service, and I preached and preached and preached, and I got to where I was aiming at him, and it seemed like I felt so frustrated, and he didn't batter an eye. And I went back one day and headed him off in the vestibule. He came out, and I said, don't you want to be a Christian? He said, yes, I do want to, Brother Rice, but I don't understand it. And in 2 minutes, I'd made it clear, and he was saved. And all the time, I was shooting long range and wasn't hitting him. You see? But if you ever get to where you really mean business and go after them, you get people saved. You can get people saved. And God help us to do it.
I wonder how many say, I'm going to start off to try to use all my talent. My, you, some of you women love babies, you men? My, how many people I've won because I love the children. A Catholic man on an island in the Mississippi River, on a farm on an island in the Mississippi River up in Minnesota. What's the name of that town, Bill? You had a meeting there, and I had one of the Seaman boys, John Seaman's pastor, when I was there. No, not it's in Minnesota, not Miss Johnson. He had another Seaman boy. There's one there, but out this way from Minneapolis, huh?
Hastings,
Minnesota, that's right. And out on the Mississippi River by Hastings is a farm, and is a Catholic man, mean as the devil, drinking, cussing, and all that. And I went out there. They said, well, I'm going out to see the, out there on a matter of business, and you'd like to go along. I said, well, if there's anybody I can talk to about the Lord. Well, he said, there's a man out there you can talk to, but it won't do any good. Said, he's a Catholic, he's mean as the devil, he cuts his eye preacher, and he's not innocent. Well, I said, I'll go along. So I went out there, and while some men talking to the business, I played with the children, big family, big bunch of youngsters out in the yard on a bright, sunshiny winter day, and I talked to them, and I don't have to work at that, thank God. I love children anyhow. And so, I finally said to the man, I got a chance to talk a little. I said, how many children do you have? He said, only seven now, he said. And he was very sad. I said, you mean there were more? Yes, he said. Yes, he said, the prettiest one, the brightest one, the best one of all. She was only three. And she fell in the river and drowned. Oh, I said, that's too bad. Well, I said, bless God, I've got good news for you. You can see her again. He said, no, I can't. Oh, I said, yes, you can. I said, you can see her again. And he said, no, I can't. You don't understand. And I said, well, yes, why couldn't you? You get right with God and go to heaven and see her again. He said, you don't understand. She wasn't baptized. They wouldn't even let me bury her in the regular graveyard, the Catholic graveyard. She wasn't baptized. She didn't go to heaven. Well, I said, I got something to show you. And I read over in Samuel where David said, his baby died, and said, he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him. And I turned over 1 Corinthians 15:22, that if in Adam all died, so in Christ all made alive. And all the taint of sin that little children inherit from Adam has already been paid for in Christ. And a little child has kept faith under the compass of his own deliberate sin. And that little child had gone to heaven. He said, you mean then, if she didn't have to be baptized? And I said, no, the blood of Jesus is what does that. He'd already paid for the whole business. And suddenly the man was in tears and open and listened to anything I told him. And we had a prayer together. And he took Christ as Savior, just gripped my hand and held on to me. All the time, the fellow that was inaccessible and such a bitter Catholic, they thought, and so profane and drunken, they thought. And all the time, a broken heart, and you loved him, and you found a key to his heart. You see, you can win souls, but you got to go after them. It's sowing and reaping that wins souls. Let's pray. Heads all bowed. I wonder how many people here. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed I don't go after more people. I wonder how many here this morning say, I confess to God my sin in not winning souls by all the time, all around me, running people down. I just wait till it's convenient, or till it's in church, or till they ask me, or something like that. I wonder how many say, I've been guilty in not sowing besides all water, in not being all things to all men, and not working at it all the time, sowing the seed. Let's see your hand. Let's see your hand. All right. God, give us heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go away if they're really sowing the seed? I take that little booklet of mine. Nearly anybody, you can get them to read it. You can say, look here, over 7,000 copies. This printed in English, and it's now spread in 21 top foreign nations and 21 foreign languages. And I know you want to read it, and they would. You can say, tell me what to decide when you come to page 23. And then you go back and read that over with them. You can get people saved if you work at it. You, their ways and means, by God's grace. How many say, by God's grace, I'm asking him to help me set out to sow besides all waters and to be all things to all men that I might win some. Let's see your hand. By God's grace. All right. Now, Lord, see our hearts and give us grace to do it and make real soul winners. Lord, I pray that within one week from this time, that we'll have at least 200 people won to Christ that we now promise you will work at and give us the fruit within 1 week's time and beyond, on down all the life, for Jesus' sake. Amen.